Okay, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the way you bless our hearts. Thank you for the way you answer our prayers. And forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for preparing us for these last days and helping us to be ready so that we can go forth and proclaim the truth. We need faith, courage, discernment, wisdom, everything. That we're gonna, especially when persecution comes upon us. We want the strength, Father, to stand firm no matter what. And so thank you for blessing us in our studies and blessing us in our walk. And for blessing everyone on our prayer list that we pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. As some of you may realize, there's a strange-looking page in the room. It's not very well formatted. The reason I did this is because of the revelation I had this morning while I was in study and prayer. I think it's best, and you give me your opinion on this, but I've already talked to two Christians, that and they both more or less agree. But I know many of you have done these studies. I don't know how many. But on the website, there is a structured study called The Last Days. And the only reason we have permission to put it online is because we bought the studies. Brother Rob bought them 2 years ago, and then I bought them recently. And that's all the guy that made the study requires, that you buy them, and then you have permission to post them. And we use these as the baptism studies, but at the same time, it's a good doctrinal study. It allows for the people of God to know, the people of God that the Lord is sending to this church that don't know some of the things that the elders know, and some of the people that have been here for a while. And this is our message. This is the present truth message, if you will. And as you know, for the last 2 weeks, we've been doing topical studies. I still had 4 or 5 questions that I could answer, but I think it's best to just put that on, put it back to where it was, like after communion, we do a question and answer Sabbath. So I got 4 or 5 that are pretty well stacked for that. I'm looking for a structure. I was even thinking of just doing the book of Proverbs and reading Proverbs and let the Spirit move as he will. But this morning it was overwhelming, some of the things that happened, and some of the things that happened in the middle of the night too. It was a pretty good blessing, a little scary at first, and then confirmation all over the place when I was in Hebrews this morning. So I just, I asked counsel of some Christians I trust that I was able to get to pretty quickly. We thought it would be a good idea to do the last day studies in here on Sabbath day. And I believe Brother Rob's got another type of study on his site too. So after we get done with this, we can do that one and then just start all over again. And the reason I say start all over again is, it's amen, what Marty just put in the room. It's always good to review, and then what Ace put in the room about unity. That way we're all on the same page, and this is a basic study. It'll go into detail, as the Spirit moves, of course, but it is a basic study in regards to how the Lord has moved us in certain areas of the Scripture to share the present truth. I'm thinking, many of, like I said, I don't know how many have actually done the study already. That this is the study, by the way, that we request people to do before we actually allow them, or not allow them, but I would never baptize someone unless, of course, they had done these studies. And who made the studies? I don't have an actual copy of the studies here. It is a Christian man many years ago. I think Brother Rob knew him or something. I think he's ex-SDA or something, or maybe he's, and they're pretty old too, as far as I know. They're not GC corrupted in any way, shape, or form. We went through them with a fine-tooth comb, Everything in there is just basic and right down to the basic truths that we understand. So I don't exactly know the name of the man who did it, but they are SDR doctrine. Their original Seventh-day Adventist doctrine, which is also a carbon copy of present-day SDR doctrine. This is one of the reasons for the Seventh-day Remnant Church being formed by the Lord, as Revelation 12:17 would have said was going to happen anyway, as did Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7. And because the Seventh-day Adventist Church has changed their denomination, even though they say that, and Sister White does say there's no need for a new denomination, which is true. And then they use that on us and try to say that we made a new denomination. I says, no. Look at our statement of faith. It's an exact duplicate of the original SDA statement of faith. Now look at yours. You guys actually created a new denomination, but you kept the old name. And so this is the truth as we know it. And amen. We follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And if they want to play the craftiness that Rome has been known to, that Daniel says is one of the fruits of Rome, let them do as they will. We can't stop them, and we certainly won't join them. And this is why so many people have left the Seventh-day Adventist Church as well. So anyway, the reason it's not well formatted as it was posted in the room, I noticed, me and Bonnie were talking about this earlier, and the PDF does show up in the room, but you've got to have a PDF reader built, installed on your system. If you don't, you're going to get this thing saying open, download, whatever. And then if you don't have it, you're going to have to wait 30 to 60 seconds for it to realize, well, we can't download it. And it tries to drop it into Notepad, and then you get a little miniature crash, and you got to end now, and over and over. It says, all right, forget it. I'll just copy and paste the whole thing, put it on a web page, and dump it on the server. And that's what I did. That's why it doesn't have any graphics. It doesn't have any bells and whistles. It doesn't have any boldness, and it's just boring looking. So I'm going to try to figure out some kind of a format for it where I'm going to put them all on the server in HTML format. And this study, too, is also available in Spanish. But I don't speak that language, so we're going to be doing it in English in here. But yeah, and there ain't going to be a lot of frills anyway when I do this, because as I can see here, everything's left justified, and it clips at the end, like after about 40 characters, and it's not going to be an easy task to format this each week. So I'll try and do 3 or 4 and just forget about it for a while. So without any further ado, why don't we start? Now, I'll just read this first section here. It's more or less a intro, I guess. And we'll hold on a second here. Let me get this set before we start. Okay. All right. Yeah, and this does bear repeating. That's why I say I would like to have this, like to do this over again at the end of, there's 32, is it 32 or 33? I think it's, 32 lessons. And 33, okay. That means if it takes us 2 weeks to get through one, that's 66 weeks. So it could take a year. If not, 33 weeks, who knows? But as the Spirit moves is what I'm saying. And then, like I said, we'll go to Brother Rob's and then start all over again, because this, if you notice, at the end of a year, some of the more, the people that have been here for a while are still going to be here at the end of the year, obviously, if the Lord allows. And we'll have a bunch of new people, and they need to hear this as well. And it's only a half an hour study, so it'll go through rather fine. And I'm sure we can add to it or whatever. So I'm thinking everybody likes this idea. So what's this? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's Ken LeBrun. Ken LeBrun, These Last Days Information Booklets. Is this the originals? Are they used or no? Bonnie has a package of originals too. Hey, we'll just hold on one. And yeah, and it keeps you grounded. Amen. It allows you to continually have this. Like if you're on the street, someone asks you a question, prophetically speaking, if you've done the study 2 or 3 times, boom, it's right there for you. It's fresh in the mind. Amen. Ken LeBrun, let me put it in the right there. LeBrun is his last name. Right there. And I don't know who the guy is. It doesn't really matter, because we've already gone through this with a fine-tooth comb. He is a Sabbath keeper. That's overwhelmingly obvious. And Brother Rob, I think, has talked to the guy. So anyway, lesson number one. And it's Wait, maybe I should do this on the server. That way, if we don't finish it, I can always highlight a spot where, you know, do that yellow line. You know what I mean? You know, pick up where we left off kind of a thing. All right, so the first lesson is titled, How Can We Know the Future? Yeah, bookmark. Amen. Yeah, it's an HTML thing. It's not. All right. So lesson number one. And I'm like I said, I'm just going to read the guy's comments here, and we'll run it. It says, this is the first lesson of the last day's 33-lesson course on vital issues of concern today. Featuring the major end-time prophecies and other Bible themes, each lesson points to scripture passages, which answers today's most important questions. Which answer today's. Anyway. This is no-brainer stuff here. It says, to begin with, you'll need a King James Bible, which is the textbook for the course. Each lesson contains questions and references, Bible references. Carefully read each question and find the text in your Bible and look for the answer. Now, here I'd like to ask if whoever would like to step up and whenever we come to, like, say, for the first one here, Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, if someone would post it in the room and try. Thank you. Ace just did it. So, in other words, he's applying for the job, so let's just let him have it, right? And then we'll just read it from there and comment, of course, as the Spirit moves. And anyway, it goes on to say that it might be the entire verse. And this is what I like about studies like this. It's open book. It makes it so easy to understand. And this is kind of the way I do my videos, the kind of the way I do my sermons and my web pages. But I use scriptures to answer the questions. And that's why it blesses people, because I had nothing to do with it. I didn't write the Bible. And when you let the Lord speak, the blessings are very apparent. it goes on to say, it might be the entire verse, but usually the question is well answered in a single phrase. Copy the necessary portion of the verse on the line provided. The line is enclosed. Okay, just ignore all that. Let me go down a little bit. And it says, if you have a hard time finding the answer, first check to make sure you have the right verse. Then read the question again. If the verse still does not make sense, copy it anyway and go on to the next question. As you continue, the verses that follow should help to clarify. When you're finished, it's always good to read through the lesson again to get the whole line of connected thought before the checking the boxes on the back. And that's what I've always done. I remember I did this actual study to be baptized, rebaptized, if you will, or a study similar to this. It was 33 lessons. I remember that. And I did it in 4 days, 3 or 4 days, because I wanted to get baptized. And then 2 years later, I got baptized. So, I mean, the guy that gave it to me more or less said, do this study and then get back to me when you're done. And I guess I kind of shocked the daylight out of when I called him 3 or 4 days later. Okay, question number one. Okay, and when the post of the scripture goes into the chat, text chat, yeah, you have to repost it. Thanks, Bonnie. Try to keep the text chat down to a minimum until after it's read or whatever, because or maybe a PM. Well, no, everybody needs to see it. You don't want to, you know. But and questions are completely accepted. You know, like if you got any questions, just throw them in the room. Just kind of wait until we're done reading the verse. And what else? Or if you have an additional verse, it might be, because this is a study. And we can add to the study and whatever. So, yeah, it'd be easier just to PM at the Bonnie, because if I see her little thing blinking up there, then I'll know it's important. So I'll jump on it. Okay, that way the text chat won't jump up. Okay, so first question, who controls the course of human events? And, of course, it's Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 that says this. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Now, I want to stop here for a minute because of the way Daniel is speaking about our Father. He did this, if you recall, or is about to do this. I think it's Daniel 3. But anyway, you remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar when Daniel got the utterance and the understanding? This might even be when it around the time of Nebuchadnezzar. As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, yeah, dream of a king. Where Daniel's not taking any credit whatsoever for the Lord revealing the secrets. You know, because he says there was a God in heaven that will reveal the secrets. And when Nebuchadnezzar was trying to find out what the dream, well, first of all, what it meant, and second of all, what the dream actually was. And so Daniel, of course, is not accepting any credit, like today's so-called psychics and prophets and stuff like that. You can always tell a false prophet by the way they carry themselves spiritually. Like, for example, they walk up and introduce themselves as a prophet, or you get people in emails or on YouTube that call themselves prophets. Right there, they're a false prophet. That easy. I mean, you don't even have to hear anything they have to say. When they claim to be a prophet, that's it. They're not. Because a real prophet is not going to claim to be one and seek glory for self rather than to put glory upon God. And this is what Daniel's doing. He says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And what is the beginning of wisdom? What does the word of God say about the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs? Amen. Fear the Lord. Reverent fear of the Lord. It's not the kind of fear where you shudder and you quake, like he's going to kill me any second kind of fear. Or if a bully comes up and starts pounding on you, fear. No. This is reverent fear of he that created all things that are seen and unseen. And so this wisdom and might are his. This is what Daniel is proclaiming. It's nothing to do with himself. And then verse 21 says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Here's another thing. Beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. And you're not going to get the fear of the Lord unless, of course, you have the faith. And how do you get the faith? Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you're in the scriptures, you start to acknowledge him as God. You have a reverent and holy, loving fear of him. And so you are considered wise. And because you're wise, he gives you more understanding and more knowledge of the scriptures. Amen. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so... So this is more or less what Daniel's saying. He's more or less echoing Proverbs 2 or Proverbs 9:10 here, when he's saying about how the Father or the Lord blesses. And this is why a lot of babes in Christ have a hard time with the Bible. They read it for a couple, 3 days, and they go, well, this is, first of all, boring because they're so wrapped up in TV or video games or whatever. But whatever the case may be, let's just say they've got an urge to go into the scriptures, and they start reading it, and they feel like it's boring. And they don't really get it. They don't understand what they're reading. Well, they have to be considered wise before they're going to be given the wisdom anyway. And in the soft sense of the word, for lack of a better term, they're spiritually stupid when they're walking up to the scriptures. But the Lord watches them to see if they will continue on in his word. And if they do, and they show, a love for the truth, something that can't be taught, by the way, it has to be within. But then he slowly but surely gives them more and more pearls of truth. And this is why the one guy went out into that field or sold everything that he had to get that pearl of great, of great price. Because we know, prophetically speaking, what the pearl means. And so, and when he says he sold, when Jesus said in that parable that he sold everything that he had, it became overwhelmingly apparent that he gave up everything in his life to grasp the understanding of God, to understand his word, to learn. And this is why it shocks me when I see, I don't care if they're young or old, people that don't read Bibles. I says, you're a human. You're created by a God, and he gave you a book to read. That should end the story, which means every human should read it. I mean, there's no beating around the bush. So, and I like the following verses, of course, are thrown in there just to give more oomph to the truth in regards to who controls the course of human events. It says in Daniel 4:17, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. And then a 19th century writer once described God's sovereignty in these words. And it says, I wonder who says this, it doesn't say. It says, above the distractions of the earth, he sits enthroned. All things are open to his divine survey. And from his great and calm eternity, he orders that which his providence sees best. And God has not kept his plan secret. I don't know why that line's in there. And obviously God has not kept his plan secret because... Oh, well, yeah, and then you look at Amos chapter 3, verse 7, because to begin with, Daniel's the one that's acknowledging the fact that the Lord gives an understanding of the secrets when he was talking to Nebuchadnezzar, however you want to say it. And then Amos 3, 7 says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And that's Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And this is another reason why even at a young age, many of us got into the scriptures mostly in prophecy. And the reason I got into it when I was a little tyke, when I started really getting into prophecy, is because I thought, what an amazing God. Okay, granted, it's wonderful that he'll actually write a book for us to figure out how to get home, but he actually tells us what's going to happen while we're down here waiting. And I wanted to learn everything I could about it, and of course, everything was kind of messed up in how I was trying to find out, because I was a Catholic, and I could not find any Catholic author that would agree with another one. And so it was the most awful experience for, I'd say, 10, 15 years as I was growing up. I was just so confused. And then, boom, I left the church, and I just read the word for what it said on its own. And then I went to the history books myself. And now it's really difficult to get into the history books today. They've rewritten history so many times. I mean, we all have proof of this, especially if you've had, you know, if you're a grandma or a grandpa, like my wife and I are. I remember being taught in an early age about the reason, and I had historic references about the reason the people left, like the countries and came here to start America, is because of Roman Catholics. You know, the church was killing people. And then when I was a teenager and I got into high school, they were saying, and I had to start, this is why I put my head down and went to sleep every time in history class. One of the reasons. The other reason was because I was out too late the night before. I was a punk. But the thing that I didn't like about history classes, I thought, why do I want to sit here and listen to someone lie to me? Because that's really what they were doing. Because one of the first lessons was about the Mayflower. And they came over here because of high taxes. And then they try to use the Boston Tea Party as confirmation of that fact. And I says, why would anybody risk life and limb to go across the ocean with their families for a lousy 0.5% tax increase? No, it don't make sense. I would leave my country and risk life and limb over the ocean in some wooden vessel if they were torturing and killing my loved ones. Well, yeah, then it's obvious. So anyway, we got a little comment here. Hold on. Oh, okay. What CCH stands for? Which, where was that from? CCH. Well, that's neat. He's using Ellen White in here, so it's obvious he was SDA. His story. Okay. Above the distractions of the earth, he sits enthroned. All things are open to his divine survey in a great and calm. Okay. Yeah, that's from Sister White's writings. Okay. So, spooky. Well, that's a pretty sneaky way to put it in there. I think that's nice because the people in the world don't. You know, if they don't know, it's all like, a lot of people have a preconceived opinion about her. They have a problem with her. Yeah, that's just not right. So, but, you know, to this day, you ask any Orthodox Jew and they'll tell you that Daniel's a false prophet, even though now we have rock hard evidence that he's not. Dated prophecy to the exact years that things were going to happen. Unbelievable. Anyway, number two. Let's go to number two. How long ago did God reveal or declare his plans? And Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And this, again, is another reason that I thought it was an amazing thing as a young man. Because as my studies went on, I got more and more confirmation. I mean, granted, I started in Proverbs mostly when I was a kid reading the Bible. And this is another reason why I wanted to use Proverbs in here, is because it asks a question and then answers it using truth, absolute, right? And if you look at the first few verses of chapter 1 of Proverbs, Solomon's talking about how reading this book is important for your wisdom, your faith, and so on, right? But that's not the reason I read it. I would never start in chapter 1. You know, being Roman Catholic at the time, you were taught to just, you know, flip through the book, stick your finger on a verse and read it, and that's your Bible study for the day. You know, totally out of context all the time. You know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to read a verse out of context. But I would always go into Proverbs, and you couldn't do it out of context because you'd have to figure out where the question was and where the answer was. At least that's what I was doing. So 46:10 again says, declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient, because that to me was amazing. You know, that was more or less talking about his will, and of course, it glorifies the prophecies as well. So 2 Peter, the next one here is number 3. It says, where did the holy prophets of God in ancient times get their information? Well, 2 Peter 1:21 says it pretty plainly. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake it, or spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And this is, by the way, another reason I believe, because I look at the way the Trinity doctrine came about, and I could not figure out for the life of me why the Catholic Church was being moved by Satan to push this Trinity thing. I didn't see any danger in it until recently, a few years ago, they started pushing this idea about there only being one God. Because Satan cannot appear as the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost when the Lord splits the eastern sky. He can only come as one. And so one of the best ways that he can do it is, of course, to say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all, and Jesus just isn't a God. And that allows for Muslims to step up and claim that Allah and the Christian God are the same thing. This is why you've got two Seventh-day Adventist pastors that actually state that on film, and I've got them, and I made videos. And, by the way, I just got a threat this morning from a Seventh-day Adventist declaring that they are going to do all they can to get me in big trouble for the video about the SDA pastor saying that Allah is God. I didn't even answer it. I just deleted the email. Well, I stuck it in my little folder in case anything happens, but it's ridiculous. And this isn't the first threatening email I've gotten from an SDA. But they will do as they will, and my God will do as he will. You know, they don't really understand what they're doing, and so I'm not even going to get into it. But what is it? Second Peter for the and so like if you can take the Holy Spirit out of the equation, as many men and here's another problem with today, and I run into this with some of my siblings, and this really saddens my heart because they never read the Bible, and when you ask them about why they don't, they said, well, it's just men that wrote it. They don't realize 2 Peter 1:21, and even if they read 2 Peter 1:21, I said, well, then okay, that's Peter's opinion. Okay, and says, well, you know, see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So they're not going to understand it. So it's like a brick wall that the devil puts up. And it's easy to do with the people that don't read Bibles to get that brick wall put up. But the people that do read Bibles, he's going to have to go after their doctrines to make it more easy for him to destroy that which is written. And this is why you've got these strange doctrines that says the Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all. Because eventually they can pull him completely out of the picture. And, you know, the end result, of course, is damnation. All right, and it goes on in question three here with, it says, the Bible may be received not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And it says that in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. All right, I love that. That's just confirmation of what 2 Peter said anyway. And yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah, the threatening thing, like what Kufri has mentioned here too. I could have, because a lot of thoughts came to my mind. It says, first of all, you're threatening me. And they says, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm going to contact my pastor, and I'm going to do this, this, and this, and try to get you and whatever, you know. And then I went to his, because it was a YouTube email. So I went to his YouTube page, and he's got one of the most satanic movies you can think of with this kung fu stuff and all these floating in the air and these potions and that he's posting at his number one video. And then he's got a couple other videos that aren't very good either. And I said, well, consider the source. So that's why I more or less just deleted it, because, you know, I'll just pray about, you know, with people like that, because once they get your email address or whatever, they'll, you know, I just block them. So we got time for one more. And see, I thought we would go through this a lot quicker. We're only on number four. But like I said, as the Spirit moves, so praise the Lord for this. Number four says, what guarantee did the psalmist give that the ancient words of God would still be trustworthy in the last days? And then Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, if you're an atheist or if you've never read the Bible before, that may come off to, with some people as being, okay, opinionated. But with a child of God, with the truth that cannot be taught, the truth that is in the heart, when you read that, it's like a smile goes across your heart, knowing that he has protected it. And then when you do a study, especially if you do a study on this, because I just got an email this morning from someone, and they sent me an email last night again, and this is another one of those types that I like to just delete and not even deal with because they're attacking Scripture. This guy's trying to tell me that Paul's a false prophet, and the King James Bible is corrupted in a big way, and we should burn it. They're doing everything they can to try to remove the tools that God has put on this planet. And so a person that reads this, of course, is not going to, understand it in any way, shape, or form anyway. But anyway, the commenter goes on to say, the person, the author, whatever, says, the Apostle Peter expressed his confidence in the ancient prophecies and also their importance for us today. And then he quotes 2 Peter 1:19 that says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and then the day star arise in your hearts. And this is another reason I believe that the Lord got me in prophecy at an early age, because when I saw the prophecies being mentioned, and then I looked in the historic records and saw them fulfilled, then I knew I was holding on to gold. I was holding on to that pearl of great price. You know, and so this is why I like to use prophecy on the street. This is why I believe the Antichrist tracks or the videos and stuff like that about prophecy the Lord is using, because this stuff really works. When you show people that the Bible wrote something, because they're going to say, oh, men just wrote it. Really? Okay, well, then you explain to me how Isaiah never met Jeremiah. Jeremiah never met Daniel, or this guy never met that guy, or this woman never met this woman in Scripture. But yet they're all saying the same thing, using the same rabbinic code, and they're making prophetic statements that have been fulfilled and documented as fulfilled in history. This is another reason why they're doctoring the history books now in the children's schools. Because you give the kids exactly what happened in history, everything from Alexander the Great forward, especially in those times, or even just before that. You know, when you get all the way back from Babylon, they're going to go after that, especially with that dream of Nebuchadnezzar. When the kids have that information and they just happen one time, let's say 10 years after leaving high school or something, they happen to run into like a nice calm day where they pick up the Bible and they start reading Daniel. And they read in Daniel certain things that were supposed to happen, and they remember in their history class years ago how all those things happened. This is why prophecy is such an amazing thing to use on the street. And this is why I think it's so important for us as a church family to have this stuff locked down. You know, this Can We Know the Future lesson number one is just more or less the foundation of what else is in these studies. It's really amazing that the people of God need with what's in here. All right, so finishing it up, it says, the Bereans certainly took heed to the sure word of prophecy. And in Acts 17:11, 11 and verse 2, I guess, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether these things were so. Okay, that's just Acts 17:11. I don't know why that 2 is there. So, should take that out. All right. I took it out. All right, so. And that's what we got to be, actually, as Bereans. We've got to be able to... you know, like, especially for those of us that are coming into the movement, the Seventh-day Remnant movement right now, right? Because, for example, when Paul said, let the women keep silent in the churches, a lot of people like to take that one out of context. And I'll finish with this, because we're running over. the women, well, okay, first of all, the man of the house was always the one that studied the Bible and taught it to the family. And so he was privy to information sometimes that the wife wasn't at that particular plateau, because he would only teach what he had to teach at that time, but he was studying all week long. So there's a lot of stuff that he's got in his mind that is not spoken in the house yet. And so when the Christian movement started, the churches were, or the home church was more or less set up the same way as the synagogues were. You got the women on one side, the men on the other side. And then if the preacher up there, like Paul, for example, up there starts preaching and he says something that the husband knows about because he's been studying the word, but the woman hasn't heard about it yet. She'll shout across the aisle and say, honey, is that so? And that's why Paul says they should be keep silent in the churches. If you have any questions, ask your husband at home. And this is what the Bereans did. Just like, you know, any other real, you know, and this is why I'm saying when you're coming into this movement, the Seventh-day Remnant movement, and you're hearing things that you haven't understood or you've never heard before, just go back into your Bible. It's there. We're not going to preach anything and put our eternal life in turmoil or in jeopardy and burn in hell to say something that we want to push forth a doctrine or push forth a creed, if you will. We don't base our sermons and our ministry or our truth or the message that we have on a creed. We base it on Scripture. And so, because there's a lot of churches out there, if what you preach doesn't match up, if their creed doesn't match up with the Bible, they change the Bible. This is one of the reasons you have the NIV. You know, so be a Berean. If you hear something that, and don't be afraid to ask a question. Pop it up here in the text chat and we'll go with it. Okay. All right, let me highlight this yellow, and then we'll pick up next week at question number 5. And I praise the Lord for this. I was very, very concerned about doing this, and I praise his name that he has answered my prayer. So, hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.